Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From March Madness to April Anticipation, this is the Pick Six Podcast here on a Wednesday, April 3rd. And we have Sam McEwen, who will be joining us here in just a moment. Tom Chattel back from the Sweet 16 venue in beautiful Detroit. And it's a flipping of the calendar, and it's a flipping of perspectives in a lot of way. Basketball off season's here for the Huskers. Spring ball's well underway, both with on the field stuff. We're going to talk about Tom's column with the South Stadium renovation and where that stands and what could be moving forward with that. But Tom, how's it to be back, kind of back into football mode here after Creighton's run and kind of getting back in the rhythm?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I love the basketball, but, you know, this time of the year, a little change of pace isn't bad either. And, you know, it's always a little weird to walk from a late night basketball game and then analyzing the results. And you come back and the transfer portal is in full gear and you're thinking about next year's basketball rosters for Nebraska and Creighton. And then you walk into a room and there's Tony White and there's Pot Roast the Polar Bear. And all of a sudden you're talking about football. And so it's that's why I love his job. Every day it can be something different. So, but I think we're ready for a little football. We're always ready for a little football. So, especially this spring when there's a lot of questions and but there might be a lot of answers too.
So we'll get to the football stuff here in a minute. But this is sort of anticipation season. This is observing season, and right now Nebraska basketball is in the midst of the portal churn. People that follow the football team obviously know how busy Decembers are. This late March, early April stretch is that equivalent on the basketball side. And Nebraska, with six players to this point that have entered the portal, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts, like, is that business as usual? Or is that, do you take something out of that in terms of what it could say about Nebraska's culture or Nebraska's collective?
Sam, you want to handle that one?
There's a couple things that I think jump out. Hello, everyone.
It's Sam.
I had to go to get a soda because my throat was dry. And they were out of soda today at the McDonald's that I went to. So I was like, okay. So, basketball portal. First of all, you asked a really interesting question there at the end, Evan, about NIL. So, absolutely. NIL is a factor in the basketball portal. How much money does Nebraska have? Can they afford, you know, the highest ticket guy? And if they can afford that player, who do they have to let go of, if anyone, in order to afford that guy? So I think that's something that everybody probably has to process for a minute. In the conversations that Nebraska was having with players who might potentially be leaving, people who went to the portal, how much of that conversation was about playing time? How much of that conversation was about compensation? Collective compensation. We don't know the answer to that question, but I can tell you that, like, the money that some of these schools are able to throw around for basketball players is pretty considerable. There's a rumor running around on Twitter, and it is a rumor, that Wisconsin's AJ Storr, who had a hell of a year at Wisconsin, and is transferring for a second time after 1 year at St. John's, I think, he's basically looking for seven figures. That meaning six zeros with a one in front of it. And maybe that's true, maybe it isn't. But if that's the initial bid it takes to get in line for AJ Storr, who's a good player, but he's not going to win you a national championship, then, you know, some of the guys Nebraska's after aren't commanding that, but they might be commanding a lot. So I think some of the question is on NIL. Just to recap the guys who are in the portal. So it's C.J. Wilcher, Jamarcus Lawrence, Eli Rice, Matar Jop, I think is the way people would say it, Blaze Keita, who didn't play last year. He was injured with an ankle injury. And Ramel Lloyd. Now, out of those six guys, three really didn't play. Jop didn't play much. Diop didn't play much. Keita didn't play much. And Lloyd didn't play at all. Keita didn't play at all either. He played last year. And then Jamarcus Lawrence started, but then appeared to advocate to go to the bench halfway through the season. Wilcher was off the bench. And Eli Rice is a player that I think they all kind of liked, but he didn't apparently want to stick around. So Nebraska has a lot to replace, and they do have to figure out, okay, some of this is about the money. You got to divvy up. You got to figure out, okay, what do we got? What does 1890 have available for us? And what are we able to afford in the portal? And how do we put all those pieces together? And that's going to be the thing that we watch over the next, you know, 3 to 6 to 7 days. Now, I also saw, I don't know if this was on Twitter or if I saw it on a message board, that there was somebody that was involved with the University of Minnesota's like 247 site who basically said Nebraska can compete in the NIL department. I can't remember the guy's name, but that like Nebraska's after this guy out of North Dakota State, this big hulking center is like 6'10 and 250 pounds, Andrew something. And Minnesota's like the other team. And apparently Nebraska can compete for this guy. And that's interesting to me. Like the NIL question is legit. And we're going to find out. We'll find out. I obviously, I don't think Nebraska could compete for Zeke Mayo because he's going to KU. And KU was able to pair Zeke Mayo with another kid that's really good. And I'm guessing they're paying those guys a whole bunch of money to be there. So can Nebraska compete with KU's NIL? No. What can Nebraska compete with? That's the question. We don't know. It's hard to say, but I'm guessing Nebraska's got more funds than we realize.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, to be honest, Nebraska can compete with KU, but the question is, do they want to? I mean, the numbers that Nebraska's throwing around for their quarterbacks and their high-end football players is no less than what KU's doing. It's and KU has a lot of money, but so does Nebraska. I this to me is sort of the essence of the topic here is what do you want to be? And I always wonder, you know, we always say, well, you know, Nebraska has all this money, and like Creighton, the Big East doesn't have the TV money, doesn't have the contracts that with Fox and all that stuff, Creighton pays more for basketball than Nebraska does, from what I can gather. But I think that's a Nebraska thing, and it's, yeah, I don't know the numbers, but how bad do you want to be good in basketball? You know, where is the what kind of priority do you have on it? And I'm sure a lot of schools only have so much money, and they have to say, well, this is A and this is B. But when you're competing against schools in basketball, where basketball is A and football is B, then, you know, you're probably going to lose out. So I would hope that if there's going to be a you know, a thing with the new AD Troy Dannon in 1890, there's going to be more of a unified front there. You know, maybe there's more emphasis or there's more teamwork coming together behind 1890, whatever you want to call it. Do they want to put more into the basketball part of it? And again, I don't know the numbers, but I think you can be whatever you want to be. And Nebraska's, I think, has done better in basketball. But well, these days, the commitment isn't just in the facilities or building arenas. It's how much you pay me, how much you got, and that's how much, you know, is basketball worth to you. And Evan, to answer the other question too, the every year after every season, the coaches have individual meetings. Obviously, football does this. I'm sure Husker baseball does this, and they talk to everybody on the team. You know, here's where you stand. What do you think you need to do? Here's what I think you need to do. Here's where you fit. And they straight out tell guys, look, I don't know if you're going to play. You haven't developed. You got to go a long way to get on the court next year. And, if you want to transfer, go ahead. You know, but I won't stop you. Obviously, they can't stop anybody. But I'm just saying, those conversations have happened for years. But now there's a place to go. There's a portal. So I think coaches have to have those meetings now sooner than ever, because the players are going to go. And, I guarantee it, NIL comes up in those meetings. And a lot of coaches don't want to hear that. They don't. But that's the reality of it, is the players are going to ask it. The coaches don't want to hear it. They don't want money to be the priority for these kids. But it is, for some, not all. So that's why, as soon as these, Wilson and John, our Creighton writer, know very well now, but being a basketball beat writer, as soon as that season ends, you don't get a break. That's when the portal season begins. And we've already seen this week guys leaving all over the place. So, it's a crazy world, isn't it? But I think Nebraska's got as much money. But I shouldn't say that. I don't know how much money they have for NIL. But I do know football. The numbers we hear for football are very good. And I was hearing about Ohio State making job offers in the basketball. They offered candidate, I heard, it was like $5 million a year for a coaching candidate, and they also offered a $5 million NIL pool. So, it's out there. If you want it, it's out there. But But that's kind of where it is now. You offer coaches, here's your NIL pool. Here's your lump sum of money you get to play with. What is that in Nebraska? I don't know. But we have a new boss, a new AD, and he's gonna tell us by his actions and maybe by his words what basketball means to him. So he knows Hoiberg, and all this stuff is just, you can't catch your breath anymore. It's just one thing after another. And if you feel like what I just saw last week, I saw a team last week. I saw a team in Nebraska 2 weeks ago. Now that team's gone. That team won't ever be together again because of the portal and probably NIL. So you almost have to start from scratch a week or a few days later. Well, it's just it's crazy.
And that's kind of where I was going to go next, was like the idea of expectations. So in Nebraska, basketball fans haven't really had to think about this much because the season's over, or maybe, after the regular season or the conference tournament, maybe the NIT, and then you kind of go on. But now NIL has taken hold. The transfer portal has been here for a few years. Now Nebraska's coming off an NCAA tournament bid. I'm curious to see kind of what the fan expectations are. Sam, I know you wrote about this a little bit too in your mailbag, just like, okay, now people have a taste of it, how fun it is, what it can be like. And it's not, you're not building teams the way you did 5 or 10 years ago. You're resetting this thing every year. You're going out shopping. So like, I think that part's fascinating to see. Okay, can you get your big three back and Bryce Williams and Juwan Gary and Rink Mast? And if you do, like what are reasonable expectations? Like should there be a grace period for bringing in a bunch of transfers again, or is this something that you can build on? I think that part is really interesting to see how the fan base sees it.
Well, Evan, what I would say is that you don't know the combination of transfers you're going to get from year to year. And so some group will have really good chemistry, some won't. Some won't be as talented as you thought. Some might get hurt. I mean, Nebraska's actually gotten pretty fortunate in that the majority of their transfers have not been hurt. Juwan Gary got hurt. Bandemil got hurt last year, but Rink Mast played in every game, and Gary was healthy all year this year, and all those things. So they've had a little bit of benefit there. You can't guarantee that. So long as Nebraska is not able to supplement an annual transfer portal class with sustainable freshmen, in other words, guys out of high school, I think it is unreasonable to expect an NCAA tournament trip every single year. I think you can expect one maybe every other year, like 3 out of 7 years, 4 out of 9 years, but it is unreasonable to expect that you're going to hit on a transfer portal class every single time. You have to supplement your transfers with players who you bring from high school and are consistently there for you over 4 years, getting better, sort of a steady Eddie sort of thing. Nebraska has signed 15 freshmen since Frisch Hoiberg got here. 15. And a couple of those might have been Doc Sadler adds. I think one of them was Tim Miles from Akola Rope was Tim Miles, but most of these guys have been Fred. Out of all of the 15 freshmen, out of all of them, not one of them has stayed longer than 2 seasons. And that one that stayed 2 seasons and was productive was Jamarcus Lawrence. The other ones who stayed 2 seasons and weren't very productive really were Ramel Lloyd, who never played, and I think Akola Rope was there for 2 years. And then maybe Wilhelm Breidenbach, who was there for 2 years. The most productive of the freshmen, obviously, was Bryce McGowan's, but he went to the NBA right away. And so he was only with you for 1 year, and the team that he was on wasn't very good. But the rest of the guys, Matar Job, Diop, Eli Rice, Ramel Lloyd, obviously, Denham Dawson, remember him? Caron McPherson, Oleg, I'm not sure how, I never did figure out how to pronounce Oleg's last name, but Kohenets. Never quite figured out how to pronounce that name. Elijah Wood. People don't even remember that guy.
Yeah,
Eduardo
Frodo.
Andre, he was here for 2 years, left. Ivan Wadrago, 2 years, left. Akola Rope, Samari Curtis. The best of the bunch that actually completed their career was Kevin Cross, who was a Doc Sadler ad from the state of Arkansas, transferred to Tulane and had a hell of a career. I mean, he was good at Tulane, but he left after 1 year. That's all. Those are all the freshmen. If you can't sustain and keep those guys in the program, then I think it's unreasonable to expect the program to be in the NCAA tournament every year. You're going to have to roll the dice on transfers, and you're not going to come up with a hard eight every single time, if that makes sense.
Well, when it comes to Nebraska, I feel like there have been two programs under Hoiberg, and a major reset. So, the guys he recruited at the beginning, and they had a different coaching staff, a different philosophy, and so then they had okay, now it's time we've had COVID. We've had this, we've had that. It's not working. We have to try a different approach. And there's a lot more urgency. He's trying to keep his job. He's got to win. So, and he went to, with this whole other direction. So, I feel like it's just been, a lot of different things. So, and he had to go to the portal hard. And everybody that's made a difference, besides Casey. I mean, he didn't come out of the portal, but a lot of the major players did. That's just where it is right now. He had to put it together on the run, on the fly, and now they've created something great. Now what? Well, I feel like the advantage they have now is they know who they want to be, they know who they are, and they know what they want. They know what they want to be. So, you know, if you don't know what you want to be and you're trying to go into the portal, it's just madness. So having an identity, having a culture, it gives you a head start. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get those kind of guys, but at least you know what you want. So, you know, now he's got to go get it. I mean, do I think – I think Nebraska, to say Nebraska basketball should go every year. I mean, they've gone twice since 98. I mean, so – I think every other year would be fantastic. But I think right now, where you have this program, if you, you know, and the portal throws a wrench into it, but if you can keep majority of your guy, the nucleus, the inner circle, keep those guys around, then I think you want to be on the bubble every year. You want to be threatening. You want to be in the mix. That's not too much to ask, but they've got to get this thing going for a while. They're not there yet. But I say all this not knowing who they're going to be having on the team next year either. So he might have a hell of a run in the portal here in the next few weeks. We'll see. They may not get anybody that they want. As a fan of basketball and a fan of your team, it's crazy. I don't know. It's not a lot of fun, you know, because you want to be able to come off the year like this and go, all right, we have most of our team back, let's go, and you don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I don't know if they, you know, like the real question is, what, and we may never figure this out. What is Jamarcus Lawrence and Eli Rice, what are they seeing and hearing that makes them think that what they just experienced isn't something they want to experience again? I have a hard time believing that Nebraska didn't want those two guys to stay, all things being equal. Those two players, I think Rice has a real upside. I think the coaches understand that. And I think Jamarcus Lawrence is a good player. There's been a lot of interesting stuff that's been kind of bandied about here in the last, suddenly in the last 30 hours. And this is typical. Well, he wasn't very good. And I'm like, I completely disagree. I mean, I think he was a good player at Nebraska. And who cares if he was coming off the bench or he was starting in the last year? For goodness sakes, he was going to be a starter next year. I mean, Bryce Williams became a starter in this most recent team, and Casey was a starter. And that's just the way they decided to roll. I mean, they wanted to put Alec out there with Mast and Gary, and that's how you play. But Jamarcus Lawrence was a key part of this team's success this year. And I was like, if they hold on to him, then I think it feels like something. Now he's in the portal too. And it does make you kind of wonder, like, is Nebraska after some players that are just that much better than Jamarcus Lawrence? And if so, how old are they? Do they have 1 year left? Do they have two? So that'll be something to watch. There's also a freshman that's now back on the market, a 2024 prospect, Trent Perry, who decommitted from USC because Andy Enfield is going to SMU. I don't really understand. I'm not going to get into why that might have happened, but he is. He went to SMU, and so now they're, you know, he's just a top 40 kid who openly said Nebraska's in his final five or something. So is Alabama and some other schools that are frankly better than Nebraska. But, you know, I think you've got to – that. So that gave me some pause. Eli Rice didn't give me a ton of pause. He got hurt, whatever. But Jamarcus Lawrence, I'm almost like, was this NIL? Is this St. John's saying something? Like, is this who is in this kid's ear, and how much money is he getting to go somewhere else? Because I feel like his experience at Nebraska has been good, and they have made him a better player. So I think that'll be the thing that I'm watching, is who do they get at guard? And, you know, and the other thing I've heard is, well, Aaron Ulis. And I'm like, I mean, okay, This guy was at, he must have been really, really good during his year of suspension within the program. Is Aaron Ulis going to get Tony Perkins from Iowa to come here? Then I'm interested. That's an interesting team. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll know more in a week because they'll probably have a transfer portal commit or two. But, you know, it's weird how just 2 weeks ago we're celebrating what this program is, and now all of it's in limbo, dependent on who they get over the next 2 to 3 weeks out of the portal. That's a tough blow for fans that really supported a team that everybody kind of liked.
So let's contrast that with football and spring ball, right? Like, as much turnover as there's going to be on the basketball team, and part of this is sport related for sure, but it does feel like I felt like in the last couple of times that we've had a chance to talk with the Nebraska football team, like that culture of sustainability has very much been on display. I mean, we talked to Tony White, Terrence Knighton, two defensive coaches, and as well as some players. And I was struck by kind of the opposite of what we're talking about with the basketball team, where like these guys have been here 3, 4, 5, 6 years in some cases. Fans know who they are. The players kind of know who they are, where they fit into the system. I'm curious, like, how do you guys view the culture piece of what Matt Rhule's building as it's played out here roughly a third of the way through spring?
Well, I mean, it appears to be a very good culture. They're building a team from the bottom up. They do a lot of off-season stuff together, a lot of competitions. It looks like fun. What you don't know is how much NIL is everybody getting. Is that why some of them stay? Are they staying because they like the coaches? They feel like they're going to have a chance. They're not bringing a lot of portal guys in, so the guys there are going to get a shot to play. And it's you know, maybe still a little bit of the honeymoon period for the players. I mean, this is they've been through 1 year, and they like what they see, and they want to do it again. They're being developed. I don't know. It's I feel like there's still this air of like freshness or like newness around the program, and that the players like what they have been through for one season. Maybe they want to see more. They want to go through it again. It doesn't mean that there won't be transfers, you know, down the road. Almost certainly will be. Rhule didn't have to go through this at Baylor or Temple, and he hasn't lost a lot of players yet. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, I think, going forward. But, you know, I think a lot of the guys who are going to play and start like how they were coached and want to go through it again. And, again, it doesn't mean everybody's going to stay forever. They don't, but this is sort of a story in progress we're watching here is how does this team building and how does this culture work in today's portal world? So I'm sure Rhule's paying attention to it too. He may not know how it's going to go, but he's going to do it his way. And so far, I think his way, there's a lot to like if you're one of the players.
Yeah, Evan, I agree with everything Tom said. I also want to give just a little bit of a kudos here to the previous defensive coordinator, Eric Chenander, for spearheading the recruiting of most of the players that are on Nebraska's defense. They recruited well when he was here. They got good athletes on that side of the ball. We're hearing that now from Tony White. Not just, you know, the Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmaker, but Javen Wright, Jamari Butler. These are players that were here when this coaching staff got here. And I think they've developed them, but there was some pretty good clay when they arrived, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Tommy Hill's a good good athlete. Now, they basically kicked him off the defense once Chenander got fired, which I thought was a mistake. But, you know, Tony White came in, you know, a DC and put him back on defense. And it was obvious why Tommy Hill was a starter for the first four games of the 22 season. So there were some players there. And I think that a lot of those guys wanted to stick around because, A, they're not quite getting the NFL draft grade they want, and, B, because there's some NIL money kind of sitting around. The offensive side of the ball is still kind of a confusion. And that's where we need to see, you know, definition, I think. The offensive line, again, mostly recruited by Greg Austin, has retained, I think, a lot of good players. They've added, they've supplemented some parts there, but, you know, Corcoran, Prochazka, Ben Hart, Ben Scott obviously was brought in, Lutovsky. There were some players there when they arrived, and I think they've done a nice job of developing them. The real question marks are at QB, receiver, and running back, and those are the positions that weren't recruited that well prior to their arrival. That's the areas where they've had to do the most work. And I think the thing that I have been listening for and watching, and we'll hear more from Satterfield, is just how is that going? How are the skill players, progressing? Are the young guys that they brought in last year and even this year, are they making a move for playing time? You know, tell me about what's going on with the receivers, the young receivers, not just Malachi Coleman and Lloyd, but Demetrius Bell. They, you know, they signed a bunch of receivers and then they moved like two or three of them to defensive back. Did they not have good hands? The running back position is the transfer that you brought in and almost surely had to pay some good money to bring in because the kid's pretty good. Is he emerging? Or is this going to be a 9 month long conversation about, well, we don't know if he can really learn the offense and we're not like, you have, at some point, you have to have players on that side of the ball who just pop. And when Tony White got here, there were some players on that side of the ball that hadn't popped yet. And by the end of Tony White's first season, Javon Wright is the number two tackler on the team. Javon Wright had not been the number eight tackler on the team prior to that. All of a sudden, now Javon Wright's number two and John Bullock's number five. Like, these guys got it. And it's not just Tony White. Matt Rhule did a lot of that too. He's a defensive guy. He's brilliant on that side of the ball. So they came in and they were immediately able to say, no, 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 no. We got Clay here. We're going to do this, this, and this. We're going to develop this guy. And they had a great defense. Now, can that happen on the offensive side of the ball? And who is the catalyst to make that happen? Is Dylan Raiola the quarterback who can make that happen? Is Dante Dowdell one of these ass-kicking running backs who suddenly is like one of the four best guys in the Big Ten? Let's listen for that. Like, if we hear, well, you know, it's a bunch of different guys, and oh, by the way, it's the sixth-year guy that's been hurt like four times. He's the best guy. That's concerning because the guy's been hurt like four times. So, you know, yeah, that's what I'll be listening for, Evan, is like, can they get better on the offensive side of the ball to the extent that the defense got better last year?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think too, like, to me, the depth has really stood out. I mean, I was thinking about that 21 defense that Nebraska had that was pretty good, and obviously they weren't able to close most of their games out. But, like, you kind of could tell, like, okay, this was an older group. You didn't really know who was behind them. They played very top-heavy, so there were, like, 14 or 15 guys maybe in the rotation.
Right.
And so, like, I think that's one of the most different things already under Rhule is like, yeah, you know who the starters are, but you also know kind of who's coming up next. Like, you could give a two deep pretty easily on the defensive line or in the secondary. I think even on the offensive line, like, Sam, you talk about what's coming offensively. That's a great base to have with the veteran offensive line presence that they have. And like, you know, we haven't talked a lot about Mike Mazzucca, or Justin Evans-Jenkins. Maybe Sam Sledge pops in a year. Maybe he's part of the rotation this year. So, like, I think that's an underrated aspect of how we're evaluating the offense, too, is they have some options there. And that's not always been the case. That's been a position that's struggled quite a bit at times. And so what better way to set a paved road for a new quarterback, for a bunch of new skill position players to come in than to have those guys in there. And so, like, just, I mean, honestly, the idea that we haven't heard much about them to me is kind of a positive at that position, especially where it's like, okay, there aren't a lot of glaring holes. Guys generally are doing what they're supposed to be. Even Mazzucca, who Rule called out a month ago for off the field standard stuff, kind of downplayed it once they got on the field. He's like, yeah, you know, once he gets out there, he's good. You know, you can tell why he was a starter in the SEC and that sort of thing too. So, like, I don't know. That's the thing that I've been, I guess, most encouraged by seeing is just the depth that they continue to develop. They've been able to retain a lot of that. And now it's just a matter of kind of like you said, Sam, can they figure out the offense? Can that defense also take a little step forward? And if it does, you know, it's no hard thing to see why Nebraska is maybe a popular breakout candidate this year in college football.
I mean, one of the most underrated stories about the last 3 or 4 years is that the transfer portal can really serve Nebraska well, like in both football and men's basketball. I really don't know what this program would be in men's basketball if Fred Hoiberg was required to rely on high school recruits the way that Barry Collier had to. And he did, by the way. There was like a rule back then, the 9-5 thing. And I'm not trying to say that Barry Collier was a good coach, but he didn't have the luxury of the portal the way that Hoiberg does. And Nebraska football has absolutely benefited from it, because what you can now do is you can paper over your misses in recruiting by bringing in transfers and making them scholarship and kind guys with collectives. We don't know. We have no idea who's, like, how many scholarship in kind players they have, but you can guarantee that they do, because there's no way they're going to be able to keep all these guys unless they have NIL payments. And what you now have is, I think it's possible that Micah Mazzucca could start, but let's say he struggles. Well, then you can just move him out and move Henry Litovsky in. Or if you start Litovsky and he gets hurt, Mazzucca comes in. Like, there's all kinds of things that Nebraska is able to do now with NIL and transfer portal work that wasn't available to them 5 years ago. It just wasn't. On the flip side of the coin, it hasn't happened yet, and I'm not saying that it's going to happen. But something to watch is Nebraska volleyball is basically Duke and Kentucky basketball 10 years ago, and they're going to start getting picked. And you're going to start seeing transfer portal teams form in volleyball and challenge teams like Nebraska. Texas has already done it, because it's no longer the preferred model to just go get 5 5-stars and develop them for 4 years. They're going to leave and get paid somewhere else to play. And so Nebraska volleyball is going to be challenged in the same way that Duke basketball has been challenged. And it'll be interesting to see which schools, which programs within Nebraska benefit from the portal, and which ones are ultimately hurt a little bit by it because of the advantage they did or didn't have in recruiting.
All right, so we're talking about winning, and I want to talk about Tom's column too that you had, really good, if you haven't read it, on omaha.com.
It's great.
About the South Stadium renovation, and if whether Troy Dannon's taken a walking tour of that, what that could look like. I guess the way I kind of want to pose it to you guys, and Troy Dannon was asked about the South Stadium renovation, and his response, and he's still kind of coming on board and learning about it, but was, will it help Nebraska win? Do you guys think a South Stadium renovation will help Nebraska win? And maybe a different way to ask it is, where in the hierarchy of how you spend your money, where does fan experience fit into that when you're talking about NIL, fan experience, facilities?
Well, I think fan experience is right in there, because that's where a good chunk of revenue comes from. Now, certainly when you're getting 70 to 80 million a year from the Big Ten, that that speaks for itself. But yeah, absolutely, it's important. Because I just think there's a, you can't say we do things first class and then have a stadium that's falling apart. I mean, that statement has to be across the board, has to be everything you do, has to be you walk through the training table and there's no trash on the floor, or there's no, it has to be everything you do has to be that way. I mean, the best programs are like that. And I mean, I just think there was a natural pause last week. I think people in Nebraska, they get a little nervous when they see a big dollar figure and it has to be raised. It's, and I love that about Nebraska. It's not, this is a place, it's not about money. It's not about glitz or glamour. It's cool if you have cool stuff, but this place is about hard work and earning everything, and I love that. But so last week, I think that this idea had basically been sort of, it's been approved by a lot of fans. Yeah, let's upkeep the stadium, but it's time to do it. I think that's a good idea. Chair backs, great. More bathrooms, more this, more that, perfect. There was a survey that came back, and a lot of people were on board with this idea. If they're going to knock down the South Stadium after next season, okay, that's what we got to do. That's what we'll do. Now all of a sudden, it's like, well, we need to look at it again. I think people just they get nervous when they see that big dollar figure. Well, we don't need to be spending that much money. And yes, the people from academia, right on cue, came out and said, "Well, we've got all these cuts," and it's a very good point. It's rightfully so, when you're, but academics and athletics have lived in two different worlds, two different universes for years, and Nebraska athletics has covered their own bills forever. They pay for it all. They don't get money from anybody. So there's no student fees or anything like that. So to all of a sudden come over to sports and go, well, should we really be doing this when we have all these things over here? Well, sports has never come hat in hand in academic world and said, can you help us out? So, anyway. And like I wrote, every AD could tell you that people who give money for sports want to give money to sports. They don't want to give money to the chemistry lab. They don't want to win competitions in academics. It's all very nice. Why do they want the AAU affiliation? Because it helps them in the Big Ten. It helps maybe keep them in the Big Ten. That's why they want that. So it's all these things are interesting, but I just think when Troy Dan came out last week and said, "Well, I'm going to look at it," I think people said, "Yeah, it's a good idea. Let's look at it one more time." I think it still needs to be done, and I think most fans would agree that things, especially if you sit up there in that section, yeah, a lot of these things need to be looked at. The stadium needs just minor, maybe in some cases major, upkeep. They're just general upkeep. Bathrooms, concession stands. They've been treated to Haymarket Park. They've been treated to the Pinnacle Bank Arena, and they've seen, hey, this stuff is pretty cool, very comfortable. I've got a good seat. The concession stands are good. A lot of bathrooms. So time to take these things over to the football stadium. So, yeah, my point was, I was hearing people last week say, well, okay, let's put this on hold. Maybe we don't need to do this. I'm like, eh, hold on a second. I think you still need to do a lot of these things. Do we need to, reinvent the wheel and have a giant sports bar and a place where you can watch the games and maybe gamble and have a couple beers? and so on and so forth. Yeah, I don't know that Nebraskans need that. They need the basic fundamentals of being a fan, which is I need a drink, I need some food, I might need to use the bathroom, and I want to watch my team play, and I want a comfortable place to sit while I do it, and which they haven't had necessarily. People just sitting on those bleachers watching your team lose the last several years. That's a hardcore fan, man. That's what they've been doing. So I really think that these things need to be done. And I wrote it, and I got a very nice text yesterday from somebody who said he was Troy Dannon. Said complimented the column and said he agreed and said these things are very complicated, and he just wanted to reach out. So I probably appreciated that.
Yeah, I thought Tom's column was great. And one of the things that I really appreciate about it is that a lot of, I'm not going to go on a rant too much here, but a lot of journalists don't really care about the fan experience because we have a great experience in the press box. And, you know, we got our unlimited soda. We have a bathroom. We have a meal. We sit on a nice chair. We have space to extend our elbows. And, you know, so the fact that Tom would actually write a column that examines an experience that, you know, the rank and file fan has says something in and of itself, because most people won't do that. They just don't. Who cares? I mean, the only thing they want to do is cover a winning team. And so the obvious answer is, well, whatever the wealthy people want to do to help Matt Rhule win games is the only thing that matters. And the reality is, you know, and I talked to Trev many times about this. Trev was a believer that the fans were a separator however many years ago between what Nebraska is now and what South Dakota State is now. And that's not to diminish anything that South Dakota State has accomplished at the FCS level. But South Dakota State's not in the Big Ten, and Nebraska is. And, you know, I think part of what drove Trev to somewhere was almost a slight amount of guilt over, like, we have not treated these people that well, and they have done so much for us, and we haven't done that much for them. And meanwhile, we've been giving these failed coaches and failed ADs giant golden parachutes to walk away from here. And again and again and again, these people paid very little attention to the fan experience. And so I think he felt almost a little bit of anger over it. And so what I appreciated about Tom's column was is just the willingness to actually stand up for the rank and file fan is rare. This is tricky, because what you're kind of asking is for, you know, the aristocracy of Nebraska football, the major donors, to do something for the hoi polloi, the masses. And they don't have to do it, because they're not going to get that much benefit from it. All they're going to do is look at it. Like, most of them are going to sit in their suites on the West and East Stadium sides, and they're going to be, well, that looks nice. I'm never going to be over there. And so what you're asking these people to do is something that is not going to necessarily help the football coach, who, by the way, is very aggressive in saying, hey, we need to support NIL, and is not necessarily going to have their name on it. And so, like, it's kind of a stretch. And I think Trev Alberts was able to make that pitch. I kind of thought that when Dannon put that line out there, first of all, it was a very effective line. I have to give him credit for it. But I thought it was kind of like almost like a test balloon of saying, well, is this going to help us win? And the obvious answer is, well, not as much as giving the money to the NIL collective, which is probably true. It's probably true. But at the end of my mailbag today, I just noted that a really good student section does make a difference. And Nebraska does not have a really good student section because they stick them in the corner, and they don't give them an opportunity to have their own area and their own section that's, like, really their own. And so I just recounted the stories, the three times that Nebraska drove into Wisconsin student section in 2016, 2021, and 2023. And once they got inside the 25 of Wisconsin, and on all three of those drives, they trailed by 6, 7, and 7. They did not complete a pass. They didn't even complete a pass. And they committed two penalties, and they didn't score any points. And Wisconsin, I mean, Camp Randall, and we've all been there, is a dump. But it has a good student section. And those students are rowdy and they're pissed off and, you know, they're not very happy and the music is loud. And I remembered sitting down there last year as Chubba Purdy's trying to lead them to tie the game. And I'm like, they're not going to score. This is hell to try to go into that. And Nebraska doesn't have that. And Wisconsin does. And so I don't know if a Memorial Stadium overhaul or better bathrooms helps Nebraska win. A good student section can help you win. And it helps Nebraska at PBA. Like PBA is well designed for the fan experience. And PBA helps Nebraska basketball win games. And so I don't know if you can do at Memorial Stadium what they did at PBA, but, you know, I think that's probably where it is. Like, I think Tom has always had a thought process for the fans. I think I feel the same way. Not all people who cover the program do, you know, and not all ADs do. Some ADs are like, just tell me what the coach wants, and that's who I'm going to please, and I don't really care whether the fans like it or not because they're not the ones paying the bills anyway. So I appreciated Tom's column just not only for why that I agreed with a lot of his ideas, but just the fact that he stood up for fans that don't always get stood up for. They're just sort of taken for granted at Nebraska because we show, you know, Nebraska fans show up even if the team's not very good. And the presumption is, well, they'll just do that forever. They're not going to do it forever. And if you don't change the fan experience, they're going to stop coming, whether Nebraska wins big or not, because the fan experience will not be good enough for people to get off their couch and leave their TV. They just won't.
I keep going back to something a fan told me once where they said, you know, going to a football game is like going to church at Nebraska, where it's tradition. You kind of do it because you do it. And then going to a game at PBA or a volleyball match at Devaney, that's like going out on Saturday night before. It's more rowdy. It's more fun. It's more modern. All that sort of thing. So yeah, I think there's got to be some kind of a middle ground there for Nebraska. Maybe you don't have to spend $500 million tearing down a quarter of a stadium, but I think chair backs are reasonable. Reconfiguring student section to have an impact on the game doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think we nailed that for sure. This will be our podcast for the week. We'll be back next week with a lot more thoughts on the offense. We're going to talk to, as you mentioned, Sam, Marcus Satterfield, a number of offensive players, maybe get a better sense of what
we're talking to the QBs the tomorrow, look. Baby.
What's that?
We're talking to the QBs.
Okay.
Looking forward to that. QBs. We're going to talk to, I don't know what they're going to say, but that's the plan. That's what I've heard.
As Mario Verduzco used to say, the cubes, they're back. We'll be back too next week for Tom and Sam. I'm Evan. Thanks for listening to the Pick Six Podcast, Husker fans.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.